Chapter 2. It was only afternoon, and Bruce was already in the cave. Phantom was proud that he knew it was the afternoon. He was also proud that he could tell that, even though they were in the cave, this was Bruce and not Batman. Not yet, at least. He could see the easy slope of Bruce's shoulders, the way his eyes weren't tense, the casual way Bruce looked through the files. Phantom knew. He'd been getting better at noticing things. He'd been getting better at everything. It made him proud. The longer he spent in Bruce's shadow, the easier it all became. Yes, there were still days where he lost sense of everything. There were still moments when he was terrified. But those times were less and less, and shorter, and further apart. On days he was feeling especially good, he even left Bruce's shadow. It had nearly broken him the first time he had stepped away. He pushed through it. He wanted to make Bruce proud. Today was a good day, he thought. He took a moment to make sure that Bruce's tea was still warm before he drifted up out of the cave to find someone else to be near. With time, Phantom had come to see the other members of the family as safe. Not as safe as Bruce, he was still the safest, but when he spent time with the others, he was able to experience things that he didn't get to with Bruce. His favorite to spend time with was Alfred, who felt of warmth and safety and spice. With Alfred, he could watch the other cook. Phantom was pretty certain that cooking was something new to him. It was nice to have something that didn't pull at his mind, demanding he remember. Remembering was exhausting. So, getting to be with Alfred when he cooked was nice. Phantom drifted towards the kitchen, rather sure that Alfred would be making dinner soon. The late afternoon was his second favorite time to visit Alfred. His favorite was in the morning when the rest of the manor was still asleep, or begrudgingly waking up. Phantom felt complicated about mornings. He didn't really know if he liked them much, but he did like watching the sunrise. He liked feeling warmth sweep over him, and he liked being with Alfred as the others sipped on tea and watched it with him. Well, Phantom wanted to think they watched it together. He didn't know if Alfred really noticed him at all. He hadn't been as cautious lately. Not since the night on the roof when he thought he'd lost Batman. But then Batman had come back for him and hummed to him, and Phantom, after thinking on it later, felt pretty certain that Batman knew he was there. Batman knew. He knew, and he hadn't tried to capture him or run any experiments. Because Batman was safe. Emboldened, Phantom started to show himself just a little more. To the one of silent death he would sometimes hum back now, just barely. When the laughing one was there, it might turn into a quiet song in the round. With the one who was always focused, he worked to keep the coffee warm. For the one whose emotions were so loud yet controlled, Phantom would tidy up the art corner now and then. With the bright one, he was a presence when the others were busy. The eldest two, oh, they were older brothers. Yes, Phantom understood that now. The thought made his heart ache, though he didn't know why. The eldest two were around less, but he would curl up with the one scarred by rage, who would sometimes read out loud. And the golden one was always a distraction when Phantom needed it. A few times, he had even, bravely, foolishly, rolled a ball back to him in play. It seemed to make the other happy. Best yet was when they would all just talk. Phantom liked to think they were talking to him. Sometimes he was almost sure they were. Now, he passed through the closed door to the kitchen. Alfred was sitting at the island, flipping through a collection of handwritten recipes. Phantom darted over, jumping between the shadows. He made a little game out of not touching any of the smaller black diamond-shaped tiles inset into the floor. Settling in next to Alfred, he stayed hidden in the shadow of a vase of flowers. He waited till Alfred was distracted to reach out and warm up Alfred's tea. A moment later, Alfred picked up the tea and hummed as he wrapped his hands around the warmed cup. I'm thinking perhaps the vegetarian lasagna for tonight. It is a bit chilly outside, and the lasagna will be rather warm and filling for the family. Perhaps I should see if any of the others would wish to stop by for dinner. They all do like the dish, and it would be rather nice to have a full house. Phantom gave a soft little trill, the sound involuntary. That did sound nice. Yes, I think that would be good. I had best get to work then if we are to have enough food, Alfred said, and set his tea down. He draped his jacket over the stool he vacated and rolled up his sleeves. Bruce glanced at the notification flashing on the corner of the screen. It was from Alfred. The little shadow, as Dick had taken to calling the entity, was in the kitchen and seemed content to stay there for a bit while Alfred cooked. Despite the potential risk an unknown entity posed, Bruce and his family had been pleased by the increased interaction from the entity. They hoped it meant the little shadow was feeling safer there with them. Bruce credited a great deal of it to Cass's suggestion that they speak some of their thoughts out loud to the entity. Of course, they couldn't always be sure they had company, even if there was often a feeling of it. A great deal of the time, they truly were talking to themselves. The family agreed it was a small sacrifice to make, especially after Jason had, hesitantly, admitted that he felt pain from the entity. Since the entity was currently occupied, Bruce took the moment of isolation to call up to the watchtower. He had been careful with what he accessed when the entity was around. This was both for security reasons, but also to keep the entity from having to hear about the GIW labs. Jean.
Batman, your timing is impeccable, as always.
The process has finished. It wasn't unexpected that the data they had been able to retrieve from the lab was encrypted. Harder to overcome was that a good portion of it had also been partially destroyed by the self-destruct process of the lab. They had recovered much of the database already, but any video files had been undergoing a lengthier process of defragmentation. It seemed it was done.
Yes,
John said, with a gravity that was severe even for the stoic Martian. They're what we expected, Bruce rumbled.
That and worse. I would suggest that you watch them alone.
Understood. Send the files through. Following Alfred around the kitchen, Phantom did tiny things to help out. Nothing big. Just nudging an egg closer here, keeping a cup steady there, helping mix things when Alfred wasn't looking. It was nice to help. Phantom liked helping, even if he didn't do much. Every time that Alfred made a little hum of approval or a comment of how handy it was that a utensil Phantom had delivered was close at hand, Phantom felt a little thrill at the approval. It kept Phantom lingering close by, watching as Alfred chopped vegetables with precise skill and a running commentary. Who would have thought pasta could be made like that, just by cracking an egg into a well of flour? It was like watching magic. As Alfred cooked, the room slowly filled up, person by person, but Phantom didn't feel the need to hide, not with the golden laughter of Dick and Stephanie filling the room, not even with the squabbling of the emotional Damien and clever Tim. Alfred eventually shooed them, all of them, he had said, very pointedly. Phantom had felt seen for a moment, out of the kitchen. Plate of cookies in hand, the boisterous group made their way out and Phantom followed, bounding from shadow to shadow. Some of the others were already in the sitting room and the new arrivals squeezed into the spaces left open with the casual ease of family. This was a family. Phantom followed the edge of the room to tuck next to the reading Jason, who shifted his feet. It felt like the other was making room for him. It felt nice. Jason reached out and snagged two cookies from the plate, fighting past Dick to manage. The fight for a cookie went around the room, following Dick like a flock of hungry birds. There was just enough for everyone to have one cookie. But Jason had two. Phantom watched, curiously, wondering if a new fight would break out when someone realized. They were fine. It was family. It wasn't a fight like that. This was a family. He skittered back, just slightly, when the cookie was placed on the floor near him. Tucked under the armchair, Phantom watched, warily. No one came to take it. No one looked at it. Confused, hopeful, Phantom came to sit near Jason's feet again, near the cookie. Jason didn't pick it back up. Slowly, aware how fast they could all move, Phantom reached for the cookie. No one looked at him. Phantom pulled it close with a happy little trill. He didn't notice the smiles that lit up the room at the noise. Bruce felt slightly hollow as he headed up to the manor. there were always certain cases that even after all these years, all these horrors, could still get to him. Despite seeing the worst that humanity had to offer again and again, there were times that the current case seemed like the worst one yet. They had screamed and pleaded and cursed. There had been so many. Intrinsically, he sought out his family. He followed the voices and light and noise. He wrapped himself in it as he slipped into the sitting room they were gathered in. It was a full house that night. Alfred must be making something special to bring in so many of the children. Bruce counted heads, unable to stop the need right then to see that all of his children, in all the different ways that they were his, were there and alive and happy. The boy was no older than Tim, black-haired and blue-eyed, too much like so many of the Wayne children. Four, Stephanie, Tim, Damien, and Dick, were battling it out in a video game. They laughed and nudged, and in Damien's case, scowled, at each other. Trash talk was thrown around between them, and from the hecklers on the side like Duke and Harper, six, seven, Cullen watched with rapt attention, shouting that he played the winner in the impromptu tournament. Cass sat silently on the armchair that Barbara had claimed, a smile gracing both their faces as they watched the others more than the game. 9. He had begged, crying for Mom and Dad to stop, pleading that he was still their son. It was Jason, 10, that looked towards Bruce, a question in his raised brow. Bruce stepped beside him and reached out to squeeze his son's shoulder. His son, who was back and alive, and who Bruce would do almost anything for because they were family. The incision had bled red, red, red as they cut in without hesitation. Bruce counted his children again, making sure they were all there. A hand squeezed his, and Bruce glanced down at Jason, who gave a subtle nod to his right where the shadows were just a little darker, a little more there than normal. The boy had screamed, until he hadn't. 11. All his children accounted for. End of chapter 2.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give, but it isn't.